What it is!
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage!
And this is
Hard Factor! And there is no one that does it better!
Right now, yeah!
Nobody does it better!
I ain't repeating myself, go ahead, tell me something right now!
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist! And I'm always cheering! Oh yeah!
Welcome to episode 1157 of Hard Factor. It is Thursday, March 2nd, 2023. It's actually 3223 if you put it in just numbers. Kind of cool. Thank you for cheating on the news with us today. Wes has Women's Month, and the rest really doesn't matter compared to that in the cup of coffee in the big time.
That's right. We're going to teach you all about women, what you can do to appreciate them. It's a little fun, a few fun facts about them.
Hey, it's never too late to learn, right?
Oh, you gotta get in your mic. Oh.
Hop in that microphone. Mark, you want to go on deck with Mummy Love? Is that what it is?
yeah, it is Mummy Love. What do you have? I can go on deck. I can go last. Either one.
Okay. I've got the latest Frank and Bean news. Don't see Franks and Beans in the news every day.
No, you don't.
But
I didn't know there was news.
I got the latest on it. Yeah.
Are they calling them Beans and Franks now or what?
No. It's actually news about Franks and Beans. You'll be shocked.
Okay. Why don't you go second? Mine's pretty ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay. With the Mummy Love. We'll close it out in the hole. Nice. How you guys doing? Huh? Doing
good?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Need to quit smoking.
My lungs are
I can feel them. I can feel them.
As a, I don't smoke the tobacco, but I smoke the wacky tobacco. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I hear that.
You have a few coughing fits in the middle of the night lately.
They get tired. Yeah. Those lungs.
That's the thing, is they get tired. So if you go on a little bit of a break though, and then they get like recover, you're going to go back. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I switch to edibles, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll switch to edibles, and that'll, I just basically cycle off. I'm like a steroid user, except, to treat the lungs a little bit nicer.
Sometimes. I mean, historically, we're all like, you know, creatures of habit and addicted to stuff. So I imagine you'll cycle back to it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Always.
We'll see. Just
cycle.
Maybe we can kick the habits this year, guys. 2023, new year.
That's right.
Maybe. Good luck with it, Wes.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you guys just want to jump in?
Yeah, let's do
it. Okay. It's electric so far. Let's just get into the news.
Cup of coffee in the big time.
You know, seeing as how that misogynist Pat didn't have anything prepared to, you know, honor the start of Women's History Month yesterday, I figured I would again carry the torch as the host of Equality here on Hard Factor by first saying thank you to all the women in our lives. Without you, we would literally be unborn and dead. So, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
We love you.
That's double dead. Unborn.
Double dead. Yeah. It's
double dead without women. Yeah.
Double dead without women.
We love you so much. We died twice.
Yeah. That's right. Even if we were born, we'd be dead without you. And to our lady listeners out there, we know we joke a lot on this podcast. You know, we know that you may be more sensitive to some of the jokes than our male listeners based on your, you know, physical and emotional makeup. But just know we love you too, no matter what jokes we make, you know. Absolutely.
We tease the ones we love.
That's right. I'm a big teaser of the one I loved, like all of us are. And
chicks are the best, for real.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like them. Yep.
Not even kidding.
Yeah. And with
let's hear it, ladies. Let's hear it for the ladies. Woo!
Let's hear it for the ladies. Yeah. And this fun fact section is all about our wonderful counterparts in this life, women, which ChatGPT, I asked ChatGPT to define a woman, and it's an adult human female used to refer to individuals who identify and present as female and who may have biological traits such as the ability to give birth or produce eggs.
What so a here, long description.
Yeah. Oh, it was very careful about what to say.
Yeah.
Here's some fun facts about women. Women speak about 20,000 words a day, while men speak about 7,000 words a day.
Nice.
Makes sense,
got,
right?
Well, they got a lot on their minds, you know? They can get out there.
Where'd you get these stats from?
It's a LinkedIn article, actually. There's LinkedIn, a bunch of references, too. So there's these have been the studies. The average amount of time a woman can keep a secret is 47 hours and 15 minutes.
That's not bad.
You believe that? I think I can keep a secret less time.
I know. That's 2 days.
It's pretty good.
47 hours is actually pretty good. Men are probably about the same or less, maybe.
Yeah. Women spend nearly 1 year of their lives deciding what to wear. And that's true. Based on my personal relationship I'm in right now.
Yeah, at least.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's gotta be. How much do men? Probably half a year? Nah, maybe not.
What? Half a year? No, I would say it's a tenth of that.
2 months?
Yeah. I wear whatever's not wrinkly.
Unfortunately, like I think Wes said, it's closer to a tenth of the amount of time.
How many shirt changes per day? Put it that way. If you go get dressed, how many times are you changing your shirt? Never? Just popping the one on and that's it?
What?
I just think
let's assume I'm gonna go with a different shirt.
I'll do that. But like today, I had a sleeveless shirt on for the Hive Hour, and I switched to this shirt. But no, if I commit to taking time
getting ready, so
if
I'm
the shirt
like,
fits.
No.
I'm out.
Because the time spent for the ladies is like trying on different outfits, right? So it's like.
Right, and thinking about it, coordinating shoes to outfits, and where am I going? Is it like what environment am I going to be in? They just were more thoughtful of it. So like. If you say outfit changes are 1-to-1, which they might not be, but let's say they're 1-to-1 for men and women, how long do you take to think about what you're going to wear versus your wife? Historically, think about it that way.
Right. Exponentially less.
Yeah. The only time it takes longer for me is when I
think my wife takes more time finding out what I should wear than I do what I should wear. So she's double thinking about what people should wear.
If I have fatted out of a shirt, that's the only time I really change it, because I know I look like shit if I'm like, oh, this shirt is way too small to wear out in public. Then I change.
Yeah. On certain occasions, thought goes into it, but the most of the times, no.
That's right. Yeah. A woman eats 4 pounds of lipstick in her lifetime on average. So if you're a lipstick wearer, you eat about 4 pounds of it.
Yeah,
women see 20% more color than men, especially red. You know what I mean, guys? You know what I'm saying? Women are more rational than men because of a thicker cerebral cortex than men. And the
you
two
said that
highest
was a scientific study.
Or? Yeah. And the two highest IQ scores in recorded history both belong to women. So
wow.
I believe yep.
They got better brains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, our brains are just jumbled messes. Yeah. Terrible.
I believe that. I mean,
So if you're, if in the corporate world, be sure to share some of those facts with your lady coworkers today, but choose wisely. You know what I mean? Let's move on to the news. First up, a sad story out of Buffalo, New York. And we were just talking about the movie Backdraft. Well, this scene out of Buffalo was basically a scene out of Backdraft as firefighters rescinded to a 4-alarm fire at a building that stored theatrical costumes, and the building collapsed, leaving one firefighter trapped inside, and he gave the ultimate sacrifice. He died in the line of duty. Here's video of the explosion, which caused this thing to collapse. You don't see anyone die or anything, but it's fucking nuts. So there they are. They're battling the blaze outside, and then, backdraft scene.
Whoa.
Yeah, just an explosion. Knocks two firefighters down on the outside. Unfortunately, there were firefighters on the inside, and one of them was trapped. I'm going to play you a different angle of the explosion here in the same video in a second, but it is fucking crazy.
That's brutal. That's a tough job, man.
Yeah, here's another angle. I mean, fuck.
Damn. Yeah, that's from the side angle.
Yeah, side angle. So pretty crazy. Our condolences.
It's basically just fire. For people couldn't see it, just fire flying out of the front of a storefront.
It's like what happens in Backdraft.
Yeah.
You know,
right. I mean,
the firefighters, we get blown back. Thank God there are men and women out there who are brave enough to do these jobs, because if any one of us The world would just be a big plume of smoke and ash. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we're not stopping any fires. No.
Everything would burn down. Yeah.
No, I learned that in college one time. There was somebody started a fire at my apartment complex, like on our building, with a cigarette, in one of the stairwells, you know, between apartments, like a 3-story apartment building. Mm-hmm. And the people who started it, when we realized there was a fire outside, we started running out and putting fire, filling up trash cans with water and shit, trying to put it out. The people who started it just went back into their apartment and nobody else came out and helped. And so the whole fucking building could have just gone up. Water. Yeah, we got it at, down enough until the firefighters got there.
Nice.
And put it fully out. But it was it was nuts. People were just going to sit in their fucking apartment and get roasted instead of helping to put the fucking fire out.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. So
yeah, people are generally just not helpful.
I'm going to
yeah.
avoid fire at most most situations.
Oh, if I didn't start the fire, I'm not going to be affected by the fire. I'm out.
Yeah, I did put out a fire. I started once in elementary school with my buddy Kevin. We went back in the woods of Clearview Elementary, and we were little pyros lighting things on fire.
Yeah.
And there's a tree in the creek that was kind of a Christmas tree type thing. That style of tree, mm-hmm. and we lit it up.
Oh, those go up fast.
It went up so fast, and we weren't preparing it. And I ended up putting it out, and I lost all of the leg hair on my one leg.
Yeah, I mean, listen, throwing a few buckets of water on a fire versus running into a burning building, a little bit different. You know what I mean?
I started that fire too.
Yeah, so hats off to the firefighters.
Obviously. No. I'm not trying to steal valor. I was just, to your point, Wes, without the firefighters, nobody would stop the fires.
No, I know.
I'm saying I learned that for real, for sure.
Yeah. So, hats off.
Mark, speaking of Christmas trees, Taylor and I almost burned down his patio one time with a Christmas tree, too.
They go up fast.
Oh, old ones? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, thank you to all the firefighters out there. Finally got that out. And now, better news.
Thank you
news.
All the firefighters out there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, you had your own stories about your valor that I had to compete with.
There was another time.
Better news, an important PSA to all like-bodied listeners out there. I know it's the fat-a-thon, but if you're participating, I'm sorry for this. But Kentucky Fried Chicken is bringing back a classic after nearly a decade, and that's the Double Down. I don't know if you guys know what the Double Down is. It's two pieces of fried chicken. And then in between are two slices of cheese, bacon, and mayo or a different kind of spice sauce. So
is
it's
that
just,
keto, Wes?
I don't think so because of the breaded chicken.
Fried chicken.
Yeah, yeah. I thought so too, Will, but
apparently one of the worst things you could possibly eat.
So if it was two pieces of grilled chicken, 100% that's keto.
Yes, 100%.
Cheese and bacon.
Cheese, bacon, and ranch is also keto.
If
you don't
this
do it
is time, mostly just bread and a little bit of chicken, but it looks, I've never had one. I guess it was made its debut in 2010 and it sold more than 10 million sandwiches. But it didn't do the trick. But it's coming back March 6th. You can get your hands on one. Be sure to bring some napkins because
speaking of that, Wes, how do they serve it? Is it in like a pouch? Because you can't touch. It's just you it's don't in like grab like the chicken.
Aluminum pouch, like you probably get at Chick-fil-A or something.
Okay, you just eat it out of the foil.
It's in a trough that you eat with your no hands.
Do they blend it for you and put it in a cup or? Yeah.
You eat it with no hands in a trough.
This is a real empty parking lot kind of scenario.
They pour it in a dog dish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If you're pounding double downs, you're doubling down on death.
Yeah. That's a quadruple.
I don't know. The double down looks pretty fucking good.
It does. I'm gonna try it, no doubt. I mean, it looks insane.
We can try the double down.
Yeah. It's March 6th. You can get your hands on one.
All right.
So
marking it in the calendar now. That's only a couple days away.
More sad news. I don't know if you guys saw, there was a big train crash in Greece that left 38 people dead when a passenger train crashed head on with a freight train. So they were both on the same fucking track.
Holy shit.
Yeah. There was a CCTV video of it. Happened at night, so you can see it, but it's just an explosion. But there's the aftermath you can see.
Fucking insane.
Dude, yeah. I mean, one of the
head-on train collision?
Head-on collision. So they broke the same track.
Was there any deaths, Wes?
What's that? No, 38 people died. 38.
48?
38. 38 people, hundreds injured.
Don't expect that
when no. they train. And the prime minister, I guess, said that it was human error. So there's a railway,
obviously.
Whoa. A station manager. They were on the tracks for a while, just imminent doom, and no one said anything. No one caught it. So
humans have to review that because like there's not a computer system that manages that, like which trains are on which tracks or
not. I don't think so. Greece well, it's
like air traffic control, right? You got
to right. Yes. You'd have to have a human like overseeing it. Yeah.
So there was a railway manager, like a station manager. He was arrested, and then the transport minister resigned. So over there, if something like this happens, people resign. Over here, Buttigieg just doesn't visit your site. And so they said that the rails over there.
I saw people tagging him in that. Because he stepped down right away.
Yeah, he stepped down. So they said that the rail system over there is not up to 21st century standards. So they don't have a lot of the safety stuff that we have over here. But I mean, Jesus, all these fucking train crashes.
I'm a fan of trains too, but this is like, you know, it's enough in the news already.
I think it's been the worst year by far for trains. Like, what's crazy is like
train travel.
I know, and so many people are all about this high-speed rail. That shit got set back.
Like this is big air, I'm telling you. This is big air.
You think it's airlines doing
this? I think you're right, Wes, because I love, like, a first-class train ticket's not expensive at all, and it's nice.
And you feel so much safer?
Are you sure it's not just that people, like, you know, kind of just don't maintain their trains and tracks a lot of times? And there's
big air is certainly pointing it out.
Big air is.
I think it's big air. It could be.
They might be sending some people out there and cutting a few notches in these tracks. You never know.
I think Norfolk Southern could have something to do.
I mean, we report on every single small plane crash in the world? You know, that's happening all the time. Big air. So, you know,
there was also a migrant boat crash in Italy this week that killed, I think, 62.
So big air probably is putting the boats to
you're saying, you're, too. Okay, it's all big. I can see it.
Even Spirit's looking good right now to me.
Very sad, though. R.I.P.
Yeah, very sad. Very sad. Human error. It's insane. Yeah. Could have been prevented. Moving on. Remember that horrific car accident involving two Georgia football players and that that female staffer?
Yeah.
Listen, I looked on Google Trends, and it was 99% soccer. Everything was FC this, FC this, FC this, FC this.
Gotta go to crashes.
Yeah. Gotta go to the bad stuff. Yeah.
FC this.
Real FC,
yeah. FC, Real. FC, FC. God, there's no question about what the most popular sport in the world is, let me tell you. So it was Chandler LaCroix and Devin Willock who died. And then he was offensive lineman and then a staffer, recruiting staffer. And then who's the guy? Jalen Carter. He's the person one that survived. And so now the arrest has been issued. A warrant has been issued for his arrest. So they want to talk to him. It's just like some misdemeanor stuff, but it might fuck with his draft prospects to whoever, you know, follows the NFL. He was like number 5 prospect in the draft until this happened. Whew. So he's going to turn himself in. It was really tragic. They said he's going to turn himself in. And I don't know if they're just saying that it's just misdemeanors and then they're going to get him on something bigger, but they were going like 104 miles an hour in this car, I guess. So that's what's happening there.
Super sad, man. You can't expect that to be happening on the celebration of your title. That's so fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. He said in a statement that there's no question in my mind that when all these facts are known, that I will be exonerated of any criminal wrongdoing. I mean, I don't know if he was the driver, but if he was going 104 miles an hour and he caused a crash, he's probably not just getting a misdemeanor.
Even if it wasn't a death, reckless is a misdemeanor, I think. But
yeah, it was the LaCroix's vehicle was traveling 104 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone.
Oh,
so I mean that's bad.
That's way too fast.
Yeah, way too fast. Brutal. So that's going on there, and.
Got a that. Tragedy for us?
Yeah. Nope. I got a good one here. That brings us.
We got boats, cars.
Hey, I told you
trains.
About the double down.
Yeah. Well, that leads to heart attacks. Down.
Yeah. I enlightened you on women.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I like that women segment.
Yeah, and that brings us to
the cream of the crop. Did you guys see? I put it in our Google Calendar, our shared calendar. double down at Wendy's. Nice. Oh shit, I got to change it. I put it on the 20th. It's on the 6th.
Oh yeah. Good thing it might be gone by then.
Yeah.
Good thing I caught that.
Guys, I want you to meet the world's youngest whistleblower, bigot and prude, Knox Zajic. There he is. I mean, just look at this kid. He looks like he says the F word a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like in the woods, he's starting fires and he's calling everyone an F word.
He says a couple F words.
Yeah.
Dude, he's definitely your buddy that's got access to like unlimited firecrackers.
Oh, yeah. And the R word a lot, too.
Oh, he says every derogatory curse word, everything that you can imagine. And
that face shows up at your house. It's like 9 out of 10 times. It's asking you if you want to go light off bottle rockets.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he just looks like trouble, doesn't he?
He's calling kids shorter than him midgets and stuff like that. Everything.
This kid is a menace. I just know he is. You see, Knox spoke up at a Windham, Maine school board meeting. This is just outside Maine, a little bit more inland, Portland, Maine. And he spoke up at a board meeting to read aloud from the book Nick and Charlie, written by Alice Osman, which begins with two early teen boys stealing wine from their parents and proceeding to experiment sexually with one another. Okay.
Was this a biography?
No, it's fiction.
Okay.
But it's called Nick and Charlie. Here's the book cover. You're gonna want to know that later, I imagine.
Okay, so it's a book about two young gay kids.
And the advisory on the book says it's for 14 years and older, and he found it in his middle school library. Okay, now he's gonna read a passage out of this book.
he's the type of kid that puts this in his friend's locker and then has all the girls show up and he's like, open your locker, and he's like, oh,
look what he's got in his locker.
Ruins your whole life. Makes your parents move. And here he is reading an excerpt, a page from Nick and Charlie at the school board meeting.
This book was on a stand. I'd like to read you a page.
I bet you would.
My back over my hips as I ask if we should take our clothes off. And he's saying yes before I finish my sentence. He's pulling off my t-shirt, laughing when I can't undo his shirt buttons. He's undoing my belt. I'm reaching into his bedside drawer for a condom.
Dad's so pissed.
We're kissing.
Oh, yeah,
again,
wait.
We're rolling over. Obviously, you can see where this is going. I don't know if it's because we're feeling especially emotional or just tired. Or these past couple of weeks have been too much. But this reminds me so much of the first time we had sex. We were both terrified. And the whole thing was kind of terrible because we didn't know what we were doing. But it was good too, so good.
I got two cocks!
Because we were a mess of emotions, and we were scared and excited, and everything felt new. So this sort of thing, this sort of feels like that. Nick touches me like he's scared that any minute. Now, this book was at my middle school, and it was on a stand. When I rented it out to show my dad it, the librarian asked if I wanted more and if I wanted a graphic novel version.
What? No way. At the public library or at the school library?
School library.
They have fucking way.
They have a graphic novel version of that?
Yeah, I don't know what they do, but what a cliffhanger though, huh?
Yeah.
Can he get that? Can he like, does he have proof of that shit? Does he have proof of the fucking librarian offering him a graphic version?
Or he's trying to ruin her life too.
Listen, you can see by the book that it's got the library tag on it from the school.
I believe it was in the school.
I believe it was definitely
in the school, definitely, but the librarian stuff is bananas. I don't know if they have a
graphic.
Yeah.
The graphic novels.
Yeah.
How the hell do they have a graphic novel for that thing already?
Is it that popular? I mean, I kind of want to know what happens.
What's it called?
Nick and Charlie. It's right here. Nick
by
and Charlie.
Alice Awesome, man.
Yeah. I got a few guesses as to what happens, but I'd rather not ruin the story for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, we got a gist of what happened. Oh, I mean, we know what happens.
Graphic novel.
They have a summer. They have quite a summer.
Did the graphic novel pop up?
It did in the Google search.
Is that just child porn then?
It looks like it's the same. That is the graphic novel that he
had. This is the graphic novel?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so okay. he had a small version of this. He didn't have this version.
Yeah, yeah.
He just got a different picture than what he was reading, right? Basically.
Yeah, this is the one
he
I
had the
on
paperback.
Amazon.
The librarian, I think, is misinformed.
The librarian offered him what you're showing us.
Yeah, I think the librarian, exactly, is misinformed.
He offered him the comic, right?
There's a comic and a web comic and a graphic novel. The thing Wes showed us was the graphic novel.
Right, so what he offered the picture book version that you were showing us. He had the paperback just to read it through.
Yeah.
He was reading it off. So I guess the school thought because there's no pictures in the one that they had on the stands, it was okay. Now, if the librarian really offered him the graphic version, that's nuts.
Let me look at the cover. Because he's not 14. I mean, that looks okay. That's it's not.
He's got, it's like just a book.
It's a book. That's definitely like, the book. Okay.
Yeah. It might have illustrations in it. Who knows? But I mean, like that he's got like the book version and there's a comic version as well. It looks
But anyway, like I said, what a cliffhanger, right? And guess what? Nobody's at Knox's main middle school is going to know what happens between Nick and Charlie because it's back to reading boring, age-appropriate books thanks to Knox, who is the whistleblower and who is stripping the library of all the best books. And here's
that would be one of the best. It's a hot item at Knox Middle.
And here's Knox's dad, Adam.
Oh,
and
you
might have guessed based on the lumberjack coat and the hand tats that. He's also a little pissed off about the book.
I can't believe that book came back in one piece.
He tried to rip it.
Mitts on it.
He tried to rip it in half. He was just so angry, but he realized, it's a fucking book.
I don't want to touch it.
Yeah. And he's also pissed about this other book called Gender Queer, which he found in his older son's high school library. So
they're having some conversations.
Adam is
house.
Just being inundated with queer books being brought home from his sons.
Dude, he's having a conversation with his wife.
Yeah.
And then the whole family.
When his sons find those books at school, they're like, "Oh, my dad's gonna lose his shit when he sees."
And Adam does lose his shit, and now the town has a tyrant on their hands in the form of Adam. Here's what he had to say at the school board meeting in response to all this.
Oh boy. So I'm that kid's father.
Okay, good. I was asking for you.
Yeah, I'll take another 3 minutes. So that's my son.
Okay.
11 years old and went to his library and found that by the entry door of our library, this is the smut that he is finding. Maybe. All right. I don't care whether it's gay, straight,
he's confident,
bisexual, whatever the terms are for all this stuff. Doesn't need to be at our school. Need to be at my 11-year-old's library. And then as far as genderqueer, I've got a son in the high school as well. And this is bullshit. We know it. All right. We do not need to have literature that's showing boys how to suck dick. All right. This is I'm very, very frustrated about it. Okay. And
is there a chapter on that?
You think
that
schools
book?
Know the best for our children? You know who know the best for our children? The parents. So like I said, listen to the parents. I can tell you right now, I don't work anymore. And I will be more than happy to focus my time and effort to the security of my child and children in this school.
I will be a thorn in your side.
So I just want you to be aware of what you've woken. Okay?
Uh-oh. Whoa. They've woken the beast.
They've woken.
He had all the confidence in the world until the "I don't work anymore" line. That just really shook the whole.
Took
it just
down.
Crushed his whole momentum that he had going.
Listen, I got nothing better to do than to seek out these gay books in the library. So
be honest with you, I got some time on my hands.
Feeling a little bit less of a man right now, and then all these gay books come in, and I'm going to have to do something drastic now. Yeah.
Drastic indeed. He's going to burn down the library.
Yeah, they might as well just get rid of all those books for everyone's sake because Adam's on the loose. Yeah.
You're right, Mark. It's not worth it. He's going to start a war over genderqueer.
Any of these kids can order genderqueer on Amazon, right? If they want it.
Right.
Get it out of the library before Adam burns it down.
Yeah, at least he's not fucking kidding. Yeah. He's going to fuck you up if you keep those books in there.
Yeah, this guy's going to fuck you up.
Where do I begin? I'm going to take the next 3 minutes.
Yeah. I love it when somebody starts a speech with, "Oh boy."
Yeah.
It's like he's doing a wrestling promo.
When someone says, "I don't care about gay or queer or whatever they call all this stuff," you know he cares a lot.
Council with like a band of old ladies behind him nodding in agreement that
we should get Adam on the pod and then like in post put like a bunch of like Yuri pictures behind him or something like that. Like,
oh dude, getting those two on the same stream would be insane.
Wouldn't be a good idea.
So I imagine that they're removing all the books in Windham, Maine that are you know, a little bit controversial. I mean, look, if it was 14 and over and it was in the middle school book library. I mean, obviously, you know, you want to be inclusive.
That's a legit point, dude. The book is just over the age limit, right?
And
the other one, if it really does have a chapter on sucking dicks, like, I mean, you know, he could probably submit a form somewhere, you know, like.
What's 11? He might just think all of them have those chapters. You know? What is 11? Like third grade?
Sixth grade.
Sixth?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're taking sex ed at that point. So you're aware of sex.
You are, but you don't need an erotic form.
It's just right. You don't need an erotic form. I agree. Yeah. I agree. It doesn't need to be an erotic form.
Adam's speech kind of buried the librarian. Back to the librarian.
Oh, he threw her under the bus. But I think he had to with his dad. Whether she said it or not, he had to create a story where she like basically forced him to take the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
She is under so much pressure now.
Adam's dad's following her around, man.
You get in there and you read that fucking page, boy.
He's like, oh, still on lunch, huh? Like, he's definitely, he's got his eye on the librarian. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Scoping her out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, thank you, Wes. Thank you very much. And producer Eric let us know that while we are taping this, the Senate unanimously passes a bill that calls to declassify all U.S. intelligence on the origins of COVID.
Good.
Ooh. Wow. Pretty cool.
Good. Okay. So what's going to happen when everyone finally agrees it's from the lab? Anything?
No, they'll just be like, oh, okay. Yeah, we all knew that. Yeah.
And then like no one gets in trouble.
Maybe like, Fauci. I don't know.
35 million people died or something crazy.
Maybe Fauci gets in trouble. G certainly won't.
He's 100 like the million emperor global of China. Or something.
Yeah. Anyways, that's cool though. They want to get to the bottom of it. That's good, right?
Yeah.
Let's move on from all that serious bullshit and talk about the latest news of Franks and beans. One of my favorite comfort meals as a kid was Franks and beans, and which looking at myself today on our podcast clips actually makes a lot of sense. You know, it's like a sugary,
I believe it,
processed meal. Yeah, no, it makes sense.
I'm doing the edit today. I'm going to drop in a Franks and beans from There's Something About Mary.
Franks and beans. Yeah, that's why I love the phrase so much is because of him. And as a current newsman who also loves Franks and beans, I don't see Franks and beans in the news every day. But this week we are in luck. First up, taking it to Greene County, Tennessee, where a semi-truck loaded full of Bush's baked beans, completely chock full, overturned on the 7200 block of Newport Highway at around 7 a.m. this week. And we're talking thousands of cans of baked beans.
Wow.
These things.
Are those Bush's?
Bush's. Yeah. Bush's. And they're the family size cans. Yeah, these are like huge. The gallon cans. Yeah. Oh, so you see there.
Are there homeless around? Because that's like a jackpot.
It was quite a spot that he spilled it. You're right, Mark. The homeless should have just set up a fucking oil drum and just gone to town on these bushes.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a massive like spill. The guy flipped his semi over, and then the baked beans just ripped a hole. So many baked bean cans, they just ripped a hole in the side.
So
of the
heavy,
truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Mark, as you pointed out, this truck driver really spilled the beans on himself too by wrecking into a light post directly in front of somebody's house, spilling the entire collection of baked bean cans directly onto their front yard.
Oh my God.
So they came out the
right
top.
On their yard.
Yeah. They came out the top of the fucking
Dude,
trailer.
They're lucky they didn't get the truck through the house. That was
they're so lucky.
2 feet away.
How did they do that? Because it doesn't look like there's any weather going on.
There's another pick. I think he just ran into a light post.
He wasn't paying attention.
A power line. Yeah. Because right next to where this accident happened, like probably behind where the guy's taking the picture, there's just a smoked electric post. And so like this dude like probably just ran off the road, hit the light post, and luckily didn't like
small
destroy
two-lane
that
highway, like an old school two-lane highway. Yeah.
Exactly.
Going through town. Yeah.
Country highway.
Yeah, country highway.
Country highway.
Swerved for an animal. Who knows?
Yeah, could have.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully.
Usually semis don't swerve for animals though. They're not supposed to.
Just take it out.
Yeah, you just take it out.
I understand, but I'm just trying to give the guy a little credit. Maybe instead of being negligent, he was thoughtful.
Maybe.
Potentially.
Maybe he was laughing at a hard factor joke. We got a lot of truckers out there. Maybe it was
true.
Maybe it was our fault.
Hopefully not our fault, but it could have been because you're right. A lot of truckers do listen. I mean, hopefully it wasn't just negligence, but it definitely could have been. And then, I mean, imagine, what do you think this husband said to this, like, or whoever lives at this house? Like, when you come out of your house and you see this fucking shit in your yard, like, what do you think, right?
He was probably like, it couldn't have been a beer truck.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep, you're right, Mark. Beans.
Beans.
I'd be excited, but not many.
Well, sort of. Like, you get like four of them, but how many beans, how many family size bean cans do you need?
I mean, that's like a, you know, that's a survival kit, you know, yeah, like a year long survival kit just got
that's
dropped
a,
off.
That's a 30 year survival
yeah,
kit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If they're apocalypse preppers, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Bush's also owes that whoever owns that house, that family, the owner, they owe them something because that is
new sod. Right.
Their yard is fucked up with all the beans.
They're covered with beans. So something besides beans would be great.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. Maybe something not the beans. All right. And finally, sorry, my voice cracked. Finally, in Frank and Bean news, going from North Tennessee all the way up north to the U.S.-Canadian border. And there is another invasive species coming to a United State near you, potentially. And what it is, it's the most intelligent and aggressive pork sausage you've ever seen, the Canadian super pig.
Whoa.
Yeah. Canadian super pigs. Alpha. Yeah. Wild boars mixed with domesticated pigs. And I know that you think you've seen your fair share of feral hogs in the southern United States, but these Canadian hogs are apparently crossbreeds, like I said, between wild boars and domesticated pigs, so like, you know, farm pigs, that have become bigger and more intelligent. So it's like wild pigs that have become bigger and more intelligent because of the crossbreeding. And because of that, now able to survive the harsh winters that their smaller, dumber cousins in the South could never handle. The super pigs in Canada apparently burrow tunnels, like tunnel cities under the snowy ground. Like you can see their breath rising in the morning. There's so many of them under there.
That's intimidating. Dude,
yeah.
To see the breath rising and then they come out of the ground, that's intimidating.
Yeah, out of their little burrows. Yeah. Dude, they're badasses. I'm telling you. And so like they're huge and smart and they're normally like 100,
they can do the haka.
150. They probably do 150 to 250 pounds, but one was recorded as big as 661 pounds.
Ooh.
Yeah. Remember Hogzilla that they shot that down in, I think it was Alabama or Mississippi.
Yeah. Somewhere South. Most hogs in the United States are Florida, Texas, Florida. Yeah. Texas.
That thing was like a 1,000 pounds. Hogzilla.
Oh, yeah, they get big.
They get huge and they burrow down and like they stay in the mud down there. But up like what happened was, and I won't tell you, let's let Ryan Brook, who leads the University of Saskatchewan's Canadian Wild Pig Research Project, tell you. He said, we have already documented pig occurrences less than 10 miles from the U.S. border. Quite honestly, I think there have already been some in Manitoba going into North Dakota. So he thinks it's been happening for a while. And he added this. All the experts said at the time, well, no worries. If a pig or a wild boar ever escaped from a farm, there's no way it could survive a Western Canadian winter. It would just freeze to death. Guess again, experts. Now you've got the Northern super pig to deal with. Damn. Who already ranges over 300,000 square miles in Canada and is coming into the United States.
Let's eat them.
Yeah, let's eat them, but I'm not messing with a Canadian super pig.
No. Dude, a 500-pound super pig would fucking destroy a human in a hand-to-hand fight.
And then eat you.
You would look at this picture I found.
Yeah, heavy artillery.
Yeah. Look at this fucking picture I found.
Brass Knuckles is going to do it with the... Oh, my
of
God.
This.
That's a fake one. That's a fake picture.
That's fake?
Yeah
that's sure? a fake picture. Yes. That's an old school one.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't think that 12-year-old nerd with a BB gun took down a 3,000-pound hog.
That well, picture
a thousand pounds.
Particularly is fake. But, Wes, you're right. They have shot, like, massive, massive pigs in the South. I do not think that one is real. I think that's a fake one from a while ago. But I don't know. You're right, Wes. They do get weirdly big. But they didn't think that these Canadian pigs, they didn't, because the winter is so cold in Canada, they didn't think that wild boars, feral pigs, or loose, domesticated pigs would ever be able to survive the cold. But what happened was the wild boars and the domesticated pigs got together, making hybrids, and those things are smart and huge, and they can actually survive the winter. So now hogs are coming at America from the United States from both the North and the South. You have all the feral pigs in the South, deep South, And then now you have them ranging all over Canada coming.
And then they're going to breed together.
Damn.
Oh, eventually. Yeah. It's going to be like super one huge, massive super pig.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like the killer bees of the bees.
I know they say wild boar. I mean, I've had wild boar, but I guess it was like, you know, just super spiced up. They say it's gamey, but I think gamey. They should. I mean,
oh, I think it's delicious. Should,
yeah. I think it's good.
I
yeah.
I love it. Oh, the, I mean, the big ones aren't very good, but a tenderloin on a hog, delicious. Yeah.
Jerky. Yeah. All right, let's get into a few comments before we do the last segment. First of all, indeed, it's Miel Green wants to know why Wes is always getting got with the fakes.
I don't know. Because I want them to be real.
Yeah, you do. And then this one's a very interesting comment from Juanita, who says, hello, today I almost died on my birthday. Please wish me a happy birthday. And we'd like to say happy birthday and
yeah,
hope you're okay.
How'd you almost die, Juanita? Tell us.
We'd like to know. We can update everyone if you let
We're
us
sorry
know.
Sorry for your almost near-death Juanita. Experience, but yeah, glad you survived.
Yeah. All right.
Jeez.
Happy birthday.
And then one last one. Wes is a clickbait whore. We all know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, but let's get into it. Why don't we, let me see if I can play a clip. I found a bonus dog, so that can make this clip into...
It's time for the international moment.
Oh, fantastic.
So I got one good one, and then one we're just going to kind of riff off of at the end. So we're headed to Peru to meet 26-year-old Julio Cesar Bermejo. And there he is. Can you describe him? He looks pretty normal, right?
Yeah, he looks goofy.
Well, I mean, the eyebrows, come on,
he looks like a goof.
Let's not just throw those eyebrows up on the screen and then be like, it's totally normal, you know?
Okay, well, fair. He's not normal. He's not. I was going to say, wrong. He's not normal. Unless you think sleeping with and being in love with remains of an ancient mummy is normal.
Generally, no.
No, right? Yeah, says, yeah, he's normal, says the one mummy fucker listening.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, and the brows are cool too. Here's his mummy lover. That's
his lover.
What, well, you gotta be lover. Fucking kidding me? Wait, I thought.
No, it's a mummy, dude.
It's a real mummy, like a yeah, person, remains, a mummified
it's,
person.
It's fucking remains of.
Is that one of those Chinese delivery coolers?
It's not Chinese delivery, Wes. What is this? He calls
it's a DoorDash.
It's a DoorDash.
Oh. It's a DoorDash bag.
Juanita, the love of his life, Juanita, or what's left of her, she's been dead for an estimated 600, 800 years, is sitting in a DoorDash thing. And why do you what think that is?
To keep her cold?
What the fuck?
Because he works for DoorDash, guys. DoorDash is in Peru, and Julio Cesar Bermejo is a part-time DoorDash driver. So if you live in Peru and this guy here showed up with DoorDash, it probably was the same bag that he keeps Juanita's remains in.
Oh.
Which is pretty upsetting.
My fries smell funny.
Yeah, Will's in shock. Will's like, oh, yeah, it's gross.
How did he get his hands on this mummy?
Well, that's a good question. So, first of all, it's upsetting, but more so the fact that this dude fucks a mummy is also upsetting. He jizzes on a mummy, and then... Then he leaves it in a DoorDash thing, and then he takes it out, and then he puts food in the DoorDash thing and brings it to you. It's all very upsetting.
So wait, you're just saying be a pile of ash if he was actually fucking it, like just a pile of crumbs?
I think he jerks off onto it.
I think he jerks off onto it.
Yeah, he loves
it.
He worships it, yeah.
Yeah.
So why hasn't DoorDash told him, like, maybe get the mummy out of the delivery bag?
I don't think he's working for DoorDash anymore. They said former delivery driver.
Okay, yeah.
That's not a warning scenario.
They don't come and take back the yeah. bags.
Like that first warning.
Yeah, he's off the app.
Dude, hey, if you don't get that mummy out of here, you're fired.
Yeah. This is a warning. Now, we want you to disinfect the bag before you come back to work. By the way, Julio claims, this is to Wes's point, that his dad brought back Juanita's remains one day. And that they've been caring for her for 30 years, even though he's 26. So I guess it was the first child of the house was Juanita. Julio's not spilling the beans if his dad fucked her too or was in love with her. Just he just gave the origin story to the local press. By the
oh,
way,
no.
Julio technically hasn't admitted to banging the mummy, but he did say this to reporters. He said, I take care of her. I maintain her. She is like my spiritual girlfriend and sleeps by my side in bed. So, I mean, read between the lines.
Oh, yeah, man. Fuck, man. He takes a mummy in bed.
Yeah, he does. He sure does.
I mean, is that even is it illegal?
No, it's decidedly illegal, Will, and that's why he was arrested. Because okay. He was hanging out with the remains of Juanita in a park in Peru, and he was with his buddies, and he was like, "Hey, check out, it's my spiritual girlfriend." And they're like, "What? Are you serious?" And then the Peruvian police showed up and they arrested him because they were like, "What the fuck are you doing with the remains of an ancient, you know, dead body? Did you, what are you, a grave robber? What are you fucking this thing? Why is it jizz on it?" You know,
yeah, great question. Explain.
So he they hauled his weird ass to jail and confiscated his spiritual girlfriend.
Good.
One last thing. Go ahead.
What if it was a passed down mummy to fuck from his dad? Like, sounds like a family heirloom.
Sure, sounds like it was.
Like, hey, your grandfather used to fuck this mummy.
Yeah.
And I got my time with the mummy, and now it's your turn to fuck the mummy.
Yeah, it was like a Christmas tree topper.
Yeah. But like you become a man, son.
It's like that watch and everyone's ass in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Holy
shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly like that.
Yeah. One last thing in this story, the culture ministry has now taken possession of the mummified remains, and they plan to protect and preserve it from sickos like Julio, right? And a specialist at the ministry, after conducting an examination, determined that the remains were a, quote, pre-Hispanic relic. From the eastern area of Puno in the Andes. So this was like an old body, and it was an adult male individual. So they said he probably should have called Juanito Juan because he was fucking a male mummy. And
well,
he had
three
no
generations
idea.
Of his family yes. had been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's shocking.
Wow.
The twist.
Yeah.
It was a male mummy,
Mark,
the whole time.
I was so happy.
It was Nick,
when you
it was
said,
Nick and Charlie.
The mummy's a man?
Yeah. that's what gets him upset.
They're all mad now, yeah.
We are so stupid. Our life is a lie. Yeah.
No, Mark, thank you for confirming that it is illegal, because I was thinking to myself when you were saying that, like, imagine if there was just people rolling around with mummies all the time. That would be the most terrifying and terrible world I could even think of, basically.
It's not good. Luckily, Peru's got their shit together. This wasn't the first time they've seen a sicko with a mummy, and they hauled his ass to jail. Gross all around. And sad if anyone got that DoorDash guy thing, and really alarms me for any time.
Where was that again?
Peru.
Okay, so we couldn't have gotten delivery from it.
No, but I mean, what else is going on with delivery drivers if this guy exists, you know?
Right. Oh, you always wonder that. You ever get like a weird film on your delivery order, and you're just like, you know, that's a lot of condensation. I don't know, like, what is, you know, like.
I'm always like, if there's a seal, I'm like, is this seal look a little bit broken? Does this McDonald's sticker seal look a little bit broken?
I mean, I'm not a germaphobe, but I do wonder, like, about the hygiene of the delivery apparatus.
Most germaphobes can't order from DoorDash.
No way
unless it's like a therapy session.
I don't care, I'll take a hair out of my food and keep eating it, you Ooh, know
that's yeah I can't do other people's hair texture.
Really, if you find a hair at the beginning of your meal, you're done with it.
What's the pluckers? We had a big pluckers order, like a multiple $100 pluckers order for like six of us back in the day. You know, because they're pretty expensive. We had got wings galore, and I ate someone's long hair and I threw up and I couldn't eat the rest of the pluckers.
Well, if you eat it, that's one thing. I get it. Yeah. But if you just discover it on the food and you can toss it away,
yeah,
you're done.
I could do that. I bit into that.
You can clean a food, but if it goes into your mouth dirty, it's over.
I couldn't unbite.
I don't know. I think
hair,
I could spit out a hair and keep going.
You can't chew through hair. So it's like
wings. Maybe so, but I don't know.
Oh boy. Anyways, bonus dog, real quick. Bonus dog.
Spit out a hair. Keep going.
Yeah. I mean, the throw up was what got me, though.
I had one of my food the other day, and I was just like, yeah, no problem.
There you go. You could go to Peru.
Wes loves hairy food. Yeah.
Doesn't bother me. that's disgusting. Bonus dog international one that I got last minute. This guy. What do you think happened to this guy?
Pink eye.
Ass kicked.
He got his ass kicked by the Bolivian jungle, by like the Amazon. He got lost. This is Jonathan Acosta, 30 years old. He got separated from friends while hunting in northern Bolivia, and he was in the jungle for 31 days, and people couldn't find him, and he said he was eating worms. He dislocated his ankle, and he survived off of worms, and they eventually found him very happy. This is like his wife or whatever, happy to find him, and then this is somehow the same guy. I think they shaved him for some reason because he was in
trouble. Whoa. Yeah.
They shaved him from all like the potential. Like,
he was
rashes
very swollen. Yeah.
Yeah. So they shaved his ass and this is him in pain the next day after they found him. Yeah.
Ooh.
So that guy, Jonathan Acosta, survived. Jonathan.
Is that Brazil?
Bolivia, northern Bolivia in the jungle.
Oh, yeah. Man.
You think that if you eat nothing but like worms for a week, something changes about you forever?
I think he's lying too about the worms. I think there was more than just worms.
Everything probably tastes more delicious forever.
Yeah. Maybe, but what if it's a different kind of change?
I mean, if there was a child out there, he ate it. You know what I mean? Like it was worms and he was able to admit to the worms.
Exactly.
I'm really worried about bug people. You guys are worried about Big Air. I'm really worried about Big Bug. I feel like they plant stories like this all the time. Like, well, look at this guy who survived on nothing but insects.
Yeah, but he doesn't look so great.
Yeah, he didn't look great, Will.
Yeah,
but Big Bug's got a lot of money.
I'm not thinking, bug sandwich after this, you know?
They showed he could do it, though.
It's true.
I wouldn't eat a meal if I found a bug on it before a hare, that's for sure.
Well, that makes sense. We get it. You're not scared of hair.
No, what I'm saying, I'm just trying to set the record straight here.
What are you setting yourself up for?
I got the five hairballs today. What are you kidding?
You're setting yourself up for a hair food challenge.
Oh, God. No, I don't want that.
Just roll food on a carpet.
We should eat those tarantulas that have the hair still on them.
No, I don't want to eat any bugs.
All right.
I'll eat like grasshoppers in a taco one time in New York City. Ugh. And they were fine. They were decent, but it's not something you would seek out, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, you're on high five, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here grasshoppers aren't great. Got it. Yeah.
This one's called
I believe you.
Yeah.
Fashion Power in honor of the
Women's Month.
Women's Month. So yeah. Fashion Power. Here we go.
Entering the room looking good.
Yeah, Matt. He's a fashion power kind of guy, too.
He is.
Yeah, it's true. Pat's coffee. I'm high five. The W's are bringing you stories. Mm-hmm. What's out? The Hive Hour's out. So join us at patreon.com.
Ooh, yes.
Hive Hour's out, right?
Yeah,
it's a good one.
It is. And then Flutterman Friday will be out on Friday. It's a good one, too. So patreon.com/hardfactor for all that bonus material. I think we have a date for the next.
We do. We have a merch extravaganza.
Big week.
March 23rd. Okay. Coming up this month, we're going to have one time only exclusive. You're going to be able to get all the designs we've put out this year for this Fat Boy Summer push plus more. All of our best designs. It's going to be, some kind of discount. We're going to do stuff.
Crazy
you'll be able to,
once we get
you'll be able to tell
amounts.
Us, do something on the live stream. Like
Wes
if you order
hair.
Enough merch.
Yeah.
Exactly. Merch extravaganza at the live taping on March 23rd. That's a Thursday night. Okay. So we're just going to be all night store.heartfactor.com, giving out incentives to get some of this incredible merch. And then it's one time only on these designs. Okay. Cause if you don't get them on that extravaganza, they're going back in the vault. Only the top like 10 designs are staying in the store
Right.
So You got to get what you want then and get us to do something funny on air, or otherwise you're going to miss it. So
huge,
that's on
night.
You.
That's for everyone. Everyone can join that. And then the next night, that's March 23rd, March 24th, Friday is trivia night for Send in the Car, Golden Elbow, and the boys, the hosts. So big week that week in 3 or 4 weeks. So, anyways, get on the Patreon, get on the Discord, get out there, have a great fucking day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. We love y'all. Goodbye.
Yeah, no, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, now get out of here.
That's
right
a little
now.
Rough, right?
No. See you later.